Hey, yo, what's up? And welcome to another episode of Popping Off with Phil the Podcast. Listen, it's not morning. It's not Tuesday. And honestly, I don't even know if y'all fuck with me like y'all used to, because I haven't podcasted since July. But y'all my people. Y'all my co-host. Y'all are my supporters. And I like talking to y'all. And so... this is what we do when we need to get shit off our chest. This is where we come. And so here I am in the middle of the night on a Friday after having two cocktails and a few puffs. I feel like talking. So what it do? Listen, a couple of weeks ago in my therapy session, my therapist mentioned something. We were talking, having a conversation about life. An interesting thing about therapy is that what you realize is that there are issues, definitely issues that you want to tackle, things that you want to deal with, things that you want to talk about, but you do spend a considerable amount of time evaluating the experiences of those individuals around you and how they impact you. And so I've had therapy sessions where I've talked about my family, I've talked about my friends, and not talked about me at all. And it's like, that ain't why I pay you, bitch. No, I'm joking. No, I love my therapist. But it's like, literally, I'm here to talk about my shit. But you realize that other people's shit is your shit when you love people and you're involved in their lives. Not what I want to talk about today, but we were having a conversation about, a normal conversation without going into detail about what we were talking about. And she asked me, had I podcasted about it. And I was like, well, I haven't been podcasting. And she was like, well, when'd you stop podcasting? Like, when was the last time you podcasted? And I was like, I honestly haven't podcasted since July. And she said, well, why? And I was like, I don't really have a reason. And she was like, well, let's look at what was going on in your life in July. And it was like, listen, nothing that I wouldn't talk about. The relationship that I was in, I came to the conclusion that it no longer served me to remain in it. It wasn't a good space for me. But I've talked about my relationship, or lack thereof, since the beginning of this podcast. I mean, some of my very first episodes, I discussed navigating what I call the Christian mingles of the world, the different social media apps, how people in our community meet. And like the struggles that I was having. And then I got into a relationship and I talked about that. And then the relationship had problems and I talked about that. And then there was a breakup and I talked about that. And then we got back together and then I talked about that. And then the realization that the time apart wasn't enough time for people to do the work that was necessary in order to make that relationship successful. I talked about that. So I've never had an issue talking about my relationship or the relationships that I'm in with family, with friends. I just literally said, you know, I don't have the same level of enthusiasm to sit down and record like I used to. I think that some of it deals with the fact that the pandemic shifted how I do things. There was just something very alluring about knowing that on Tuesday mornings, I was going to hop in my car, and while I'm stuck in traffic, which wasn't nearly as bad as some of the other situations that people are dealing with in Atlanta, but while I'm in traffic, or you may pretty much commuting to work, I can literally have a conversation about what I'm thinking about. And the pandemic changed that. And I had this thought process that being stationary, being at home, would give me more time. But what it did is it gave me more responsibility. And I wasn't really ready to accept that. I wasn't ready to program a show. You know, people start asking you questions like, how do you plan on monetizing the show? And I was like, monetizing, like, you know, planning segments, getting guests and writing scripts. And I wasn't ready for that. You know, I wasn't ready for that. And I think that if I'm being honest, 100%, 110%, that's why I stopped podcasting, because I wasn't ready to do the work that was necessary to take this to the next level. Revelation. I'm going to have this conversation with my therapist when we talk about it again. But there are things that have happened around us. There are things that have happened to me that I've definitely wanted to talk about. I just have lacked the inspiration, even as an individual, to just sit down and just say, you know, like throwing up at the mouth. That's what I was trying to do, a sound effect. But just like literally letting you know what's going on. But honestly, I was having a conversation, but while having this conversation, I had this epiphany, this thought that I really wanted to communicate to Black queer men, as I am a Black queer man. And while there are elements of our lives that are difficult because that's just the way that the system is designed, which is fucked, you know, there are also things that we have made ourselves slaves to that really hamper and encumber us. And I really just wanted to relay the message of freedom. I was off today. I had a tennis match this morning, and I actually had another tennis match this afternoon, but that is not the topic of this discussion. I kind of want to stay on topic so that I can get everything out that I want to say. But my opponent this morning is someone that I've played with a couple of times. He's a white guy, and we actually have a lot in common. We have mutual friends, or what I would say mutual connections. In addition to his regular 9-to-5, he is also a singer. And so obviously we connected over the fact that we both have a love for music and, you know, what I would say choral music and classical music and, you know, that element of music. We have a love for that. And so we made a connection and bond over that. So my first impression of him was he's a gay white guy. But of course the burning question that we all have is he gay or is he just white? Because to be quite honest, they seem pretty identical. But that was my first impression. And, you know, through conversation, when I'm a lover of people, as much as people who love me say that I don't like people, I think what I've come up with in my mind is that I'm good with people. You know, I enjoy interaction. I meet no strangers. If only I could, you know, what they say, transfer that skill to like dating and meeting people and going out, that type of stuff, it would be great, because I literally meet somebody all the time. Anytime I travel, my best friend and his mom always say, shout out Steven, always say, who did you meet at the airport this time, Phil? Because we know you met somebody. You always meet somebody. I'm like, I don't really think, oh, there was this one person. So if it's not a gate agent, a TSA agent, someone on the actual plane, I'm holding people's children, I don't meet strangers. But, you know, we just during, you know, in between game, set, match, in between games, you know, going from one side of the court to the other, you know, you exchange conversation. You know, it's like I always ask people like where they're from, how long they've been in Atlanta, what they do for a living. If it's very obvious or clear to me that they're married or whatever the case is, I ask about children. I'm just a conversationalist. And so we've played a couple of times. So we play in two different leagues. And so we've met each other as opponents in both leagues throughout this year in different seasons, whether it was fall, spring, or summer. Right now we're in fall. I was all backwards. So whether it was spring, summer, or fall, we've met and had conversations. And so, you know, we've talked about that, where you're from, what you do, you know, goals, aspirations. And at some point, either during one of the other meetings, he said that he was engaged, okay? And I don't think I noticed it before, but I noticed today that he was actually wearing a ring. but we'll get back to that. So he said that he was engaged, but we never actually had a conversation about the gender identity of who he's engaged to. I automatically assumed that it was a man because he presents as a pretty gay man. Like, more so than being white, he presents as a gay man. But I have learned in my maturity that you never make assumptions because, of course, is he gay or is he white is a real thing. And you never want to offend people in saying anything, you know? So we've talked about his fiance, but we've never talked about that fiance's gender identity. And so we were having a conversation today. Again, I noticed that he was wearing a ring, which of course, in my mind, supports this idea that if you're engaged and you're actually wearing a ring, that means that someone likely proposed to you. And not that women can't propose to men, but that definitely seems like something that white folks wouldn't do. Maybe, but whatever. All of the videos that I've seen on social media, them dumbass videos of women proposing, tend to be women of color. Again, another topic for another day. Nonetheless, I want to stay on course. So again, that supports this idea that he's engaged and he's engaged to a man. So we were having a conversation. I asked him about what their holiday plans were. Well, you know, I think, again, we're having conversations in between games as like changeover and different stuff like that, you know, when we're changing over. And so it's like, hey, what about the wedding? When is it scheduled? Where is it going to be? Yada, yada, yada. So I think that was one conversation. And then the next conversation was, I'm going to get there, y'all. I'm just taking the long way. Bear with me. So next conversation was, you know, what are you guys doing for like the holidays? But because I didn't know the gender identity of his fiance, but I assumed that it was a man, I used the words partner because there are some heterosexual couples that refer to their husband or wife or spouse as partner. But this time when I said your partner, I did assign a pronoun of him because every other time I've always said, you know, them, they, you know, those types of things, just general pronouns. And so this time I said him, and he was like, you know, oddly enough, I'm marrying a woman. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, well, he was like, you know, but most people assume that I'm marrying a man. And, you know, honestly, this is the first woman that I've actually dated. And so he goes and tells me the story of, you know, their love story, how they met, you know, what happened. But he said something that really struck me. That seems to be across the board something that people hear that's reinforced. But I feel that there is a difference between our white brothers and sisters, our white brothers, because I'm really just speaking to Black queer men tonight. So our white brothers and, you know, European brothers and brothers of other origins that, I'm not talking about, you know, spaces where homosexuality is like, you know, illegal and immoral and people are being killed. But I'm just saying in a general sense, people other than Black folks, there's a freedom that they have that I associate with privilege that we don't have. And I've definitely spoke about this before, but I feel compelled to have this conversation with you tonight. So we're having it. He said that, you know, this was actually the first woman that he was dated. There are a lot of assumptions. And I was like, oh, well, you're bisexual, which is really, really weird. I'm going to tell you another quick story about that. My dad and my brother were here because my dad's godson was graduating from high school. And my brother and my godbrother, for all intents and purposes, were having a conversation. And they were having a conversation about a particular girl. And, you know, they're talking or whatever the case is, exchanging numbers or whatever the case is. My brother's giving my godbrother advice like, yeah, you know, I think you should do this or you should do that or whatever the case is. And so I interject only because me and my brother are getting ready to go. He's riding with me. We're leaving. And so they're talking and my godbrother, you know, they're having a conversation. And I was like, well, you know, I'm here. You know, if you ever want to have a conversation, I said, I ain't really into girls, but you know, I didn't say that. I must've said something to the effect of, I don't know how much help I can be with girls, but I can help you. And his response, 17, 18 years old, was like, oh, so are you bisexual or gay? And I was like, I'm gay. And he was like, cool. And kept moving. And I was just like, this generation is very different from any generation that I've ever experienced, because he didn't blink. He didn't wince. He didn't, you know, shudder at my paw. He was literally just like, cool, and moved on. It's like, hey, you know, as a matter of fact, he's basically like, all the gay guys I know have all the female friends. So yeah, you probably do know a thing or two, which I thought was hilarious. But to go back to what I was talking about earlier, he told me the whole story and I was like, well, basically, you know, you're bisexual. I know people don't like labels, but obviously he is attracted to both men and women. He's marrying a woman, and this is the first woman that he's ever been with. And I just, what he said was they dated earlier in their lives, and right before they got ready to go away to college, you know, he was just like, well, you know, I'm gay, you know? And that, of course, created an altercation between the two of them, because obviously they're young. But what he said was, you know, I've always been told that if I'm attracted to men or I've had any type of experience with men, I'm gay. So that's what I thought. You know, I never even, because I had not been with a woman before, I never even considered the other possibilities. I didn't even think that it was a possibility that I could fall for another woman or yada yada this or yada yada that. But they meet later on in life. They're different people. They've grown. They've matured. And they click. And so because they click, they decide to make a life of clicking. And I think about so many Black men who are in different phases of their lives. And I've encountered them because I have dealt with married men, DL men, and I've dealt with men in different capacities in terms of career choices, whether it be a field in religion or a field in business or, you know, doctor, lawyer, all of these different things. And everybody has this idea that because they are gay, and keep in mind, there is a difference between a person who is what I consider private. I don't like the word discreet, because discreet normally lends itself to being DL, but a person who is private about their affairs and a person who is secretive about their affairs. They're different. They're very, very different. But I've dealt with a plethora of different men in different disciplines, different age groups. And, all, you know, this, what was true, you know, for all of them foundationally is there was this thought process that they could not be attracted to men or, you know, be outwardly affectionate with a man or in a relationship with a man with all of the stigma and different things going on. And even though this white man that I'm talking to had the same idea that because he had engaged with a man sexually, that just put a label on him that was infinite. Somehow he's found freedom, which again, I associate with privilege. He's found freedom to say, none of that matters because I'm into this person. I love this person. I click with this person. This person works. And I believe that it's important for people to understand that relationship, marriage, intimacy is about commitment. So just, you know, people often say, well, if you're bisexual, and I know that I have my own struggles with bisexuality because I'm not bisexual, but in terms of the understanding of it, but people will say, well, what happens when you get this urge to be with a man or to be with a woman? And relationship is about commitment. Everybody, marriage doesn't make you dead or blind. You still see people, you still lust after people, you still have these ideas, but it's the commitment factor that says, but I'm in a relationship with this particular person. So it doesn't matter what these other urges are. I'm focused on making this relationship the best that it can possibly be. So those urges, those inklings to act out on certain things, take a backseat to the fact that you've made a commitment to a person, whether it's a commitment in vows or just a commitment in saying that we're in a committed relationship that only involves you and I. And as a result of that, that's what it is. It's no different from a man who finds another woman attractive, a woman who finds another man attractive. There is an urge, but there is a suppression that comes from being true, being honest to your commitment. But anyway, I circle all back to say that I understand that there is a privilege that white men have, that white women have, but that white men have that allows them to kind of navigate through this world a lot differently from those of us who are people of color, those of us who are Black. And in this whole realm of sexuality and experimentation and figuring things out, I think white men are in a different spot. And what I encourage us to do is, you know, freedom starts from within. So when we decide that that shit doesn't matter to us anymore, and that's what we put out into the world has to respect that. Or at least, if not respect, because respect, they don't have to accept it. They do have to respect it. The world respects it. When you are a man that says, this is what I do, this is what I'm about, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? And I think that we as Black men have to come to this space. And even though I'm having this conversation for Black queer men, because I think that's the majority of the people who actually listen to this podcast, even for Black straight men, like somewhere along the way, we've lost the ability, the privilege to experiment and experience our full selves. I know that there are probably tons and tons of men who found themselves attracted to the energy of another person. It may not even be the fact that you think that that person is attractive in like sexually, but there's an energy about that person. You know, what we quantify things now is that there's a swag that this person has that attracts you to them. It's the same thing that makes people popular. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing that makes a person sexy. It's the same thing that even if a person isn't traditionally attractive, there are things, they're funny, they're comedic, there are things about their personality or their energy that draws people to them. You know, this whole concept of bromance, that's what that is. A bromance is an attraction to something that somebody else possesses. But we call it a bromance because we're bros, but our relationship is so intimate that if people didn't know us or didn't know that we were both heterosexual, they would assume that there was something more because of the intimacy of our relationship. So you know that it exists. But I'm saying all this to say that we ourselves have to get to a place where we say, regardless of what you think or what you think or what you say or how you feel, I have every right to fully experience who I am and come to a determination after I've had that experience to say, that's not something I like. I always kind of tie this back to one of the earlier seasons of Insecure when Molly was dealing with an individual who basically said that, you know, while in college, she experimented with a guy, the guy gave him head. And for her, that was a deal breaker. It's like he gay, you know, and there's so many people who feel that way. But what he said is, I wanted to experience it. I did. And I didn't like it. I realized in that moment that it wasn't for me. And so I moved on from that. But I'm being honest with you because I know that it could come up. And I know that I don't want you to feel blindsided. I don't want you to feel bamboozled. I just want to be honest with you. And so often we're honest about who we are and what we think and how we feel. And we are labeled a certain way. And we're put in this box that we never get out of. And I just want us to get to a place where we free ourselves from it. This is in tandem with the fact that Joe Budden, whether this was completely made up, but I've been hearing talk about it. You know, he basically said that he is attracted to both men and women, that he is bisexual. Nobody, well, some people suspected it, whether they did or not. That should be okay that he's come to that determination, and it shouldn't limit his artistry. It shouldn't limit his influence as a podcaster. It shouldn't affect any of those things, because we all have a right as humans cohabitating in this place on this earth to experience ourselves fully, and based on those experiences make decisions about what it is we like and we don't like, what we want and what we don't want, what we need and what we don't need. And I feel like we as Black men have been robbed of that gift, because it is a gift. And while I associate white men's ability to move about the world, move about the cabin in this way, to privilege, as men, we have privilege as well. And I just think that it's a good idea for us to begin to assert that for ourselves in this regard, to be free. Because it could be a situation where you do something and you don't like it, or there are elements of something that you do like and other elements of things that you don't like, but you never know. And what ends up happening is it creates this a further divide between us as brothers. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of these misconceptions, because I am a gay man, that means that I'm instantly and automatically attracted to other gay men and that I'm sexualizing them. And I understand that some of this is the thought process of being a man, and maybe that's the issue, you know, this whole concept of somebody else being more masculine or more aggressive than me. I don't want that. And I know that there are people who are disrespectful and don't understand boundaries and lines and different things like that, but just at the base, at the foundation, two men, one gay, one straight, can be in a room, can be in a space, can be in an organization and cohabitate, and there never be any other exchange other than that of brother and friend. But there are so many straight men who believe that that's impossible. And it just creates, like I said, it just creates this larger divide between us as brothers. You know what I'm saying? I like what I like and you like what you like. And most of the times those things don't meet. You know what I'm saying? So if it's something that you don't understand or something that you don't particularly care for, when will you ever see it enacted? You know what I'm saying? Like, it seems that people are overly concerned with what goes on outside of the realm. I'm never going to be in a space, you know, unless it's a situation where I'm not a PDA person, but there are some people who are, but you're never going to be in a space where you see me and my partner overtly sexualizing ourselves and each other in your presence. So what you stressed about, what you pressed about, you know what I'm saying? And I just feel that if more men got an opportunity, if more Black men got an opportunity to experience the fullness of themselves and their sexuality, that we wouldn't have any of this. And I feel that we have every right to own that and take that back and say that it's our right and it's our privilege to figure this thing out. And I just wanted to say that today to you. Get free. The title of this podcast is to get free. And for Black queer men and for Black men in general, really tapping into that space of experiencing yourself in your fullness. And from those experiences, determining what it is and what it ain't. And I think that if we spent some time doing those things, we could be kinder to one another and respectfully deal with each other and our personal choices. You know what I'm saying? Because it's about respect. The baseline is respect. And I think that if we own that, then we could begin to demand that same level of respect from our counterparts, our women counterparts, in that regard of saying that it was an experience. This is what it was. It wasn't something that I particularly cared for, but I owed it to myself, just as you owe it to yourself, to experience what you need to in the fullness to determine whether or not it's something that you like or you don't. And that's all I got to say. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of Popping Off with Phil. Peace.